A second reading now from the New Testament. We'll look at the book of Acts, chapter 10. The gospel proclamation from Luke, of course, that was read a moment ago, was the Easter story according to Luke. What we read in Acts 10 is a sermon by Peter. We'll start at verse 34. Peter spends a lot of time in the book of Acts preaching, and this is not his most famous sermon by any means, but it ought to be better known, and I hope you'll be convinced of that once you hear it, and perhaps once we talk about it a little bit in the sermon. But hear this sermon by Peter. It's an Easter sermon preached in the 10th chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John had announced. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and about how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Jesus. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. And then they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. We ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach the gospel, preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Acts chapter 10, concluding at verse 43 today, by the Holy Spirit, along with Luke 24, the word of God for us all, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
At this time, I would like to invite any children who'd like to join me up front for the telling of the story are welcome to come forward. And as a reminder, if you haven't done so yet, you can find the colors for our story along the center aisles, and you can pass them down the little prayer sheets so that you can be ready to help us tell our story. This is for everyone. So you can pass those prayer sheets down. And just to make sure we've got all of our colors here, we're going to practice. So when I say your color, you're going to hold it up, shake it for a couple seconds, and then you can set it back down. So we're going to practice. Ready? So where is our blue section? There we go. There's our blues. Nice. Our greens. Yes, we got our greens, perfect. Our yellows, yeah, y'all can come up. Yellows, yeah, up in the balcony too. Our white sheets, there's our white group. Our purple, kind of lavender, great, up here in the front. We've got back here, if y'all saw yours, we've got the grayish colors, some of y'all have them. They're along the center here. I kind of snuck them in on you, in that pocket right next to you. Yeah, there's some there. We got a couple. Yeah, we got grace. And then, you know, I forgot my sample pink, but where are our pink ones? Perfect. So we are ready to hear the story again, because the Easter story is wonderful, and we can hear it twice. One more thing. The yellow, you're also brown, because I didn't have any brown color. So early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and her friends got up while it was still gray as night to go to the place where Jesus was buried. It was so quiet, hardly a bird was singing yet. They all felt sad because their friend had died. They walked down the dusty brown, yellow path, telling each other stories about Jesus. They remembered the times they followed him around the countryside. They remembered the time he sat on a green hillside and taught the people. They remembered the time there was not enough food to eat, only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But when Jesus blessed the food, there was enough for everyone. Well, as the sun began to rise and the sky turned pink and blue, They reached the garden where Jesus' body had been put in a tomb with a big stone to cover the entrance. They found the gray stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. The only thing remaining was the ratty purple cloth that Jesus had been wearing 3 days earlier. While they were trying to figure out what had happened, suddenly two men in dazzling white, there you go, clothes, stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men in the dazzling clothes said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while you were all still together that he would be killed, but on the third day he would rise again?" Then they remembered what Jesus had told them, and they left the tomb to tell all of Jesus' friends and disciples what they had seen. As they left the garden, the yellow sun was shining in the clear blue sky as they noticed the beautiful flowers that were pink and purple and white. All of these years later, we remember how they went to the tomb and found it empty. We celebrate the Easter Sunday with flowers of all the colors, and we give thanks for Jesus who rose that day. We give thanks to God, and we say, Alleluia. Let's pray. Repeat after me if you'd like. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful story. May we celebrate this message of love and take that love to share with others. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. And if you are in the kindergarten through second grade and would like to go to worship enrichment, you are welcome to come join Miss Caroline over here at the door.
I like gray, but I'd be willing to trade this with somebody afterwards if anybody's interested. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer, that we may hear once again of God's wonder and power on this day, on Easter Sunday. Amen. Well, I want to start with a really narrow focus on the text today, background, if you will, on what I read from Acts chapter 10. I began at verse 34, the start of Peter's sermon. But I didn't tell you when I read the text, and nor did the text share with you where exactly Peter is when he's preaching the sermon, or what exactly is going on, or who was listening. To find out any of that stuff, you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, to chapter 10, verse 1. And the problem on a Sunday like Easter is you want to read enough text, but if you read the whole chapter of Scripture, folks would begin, their minds begin to wander. So what I'm going to tell you, you can read later on your own, if you like, or you can just take my word at it for it today. But at the beginning of the chapter, we learn that Peter is on his way to Caesarea. He's going to be preaching in the house of a devout man named Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is not a Jewish man like Peter is. He instead is a Roman man. Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us that, in fact, he was from what Luke described as the Italian cohort. Cornelius is a foreigner, in other words. He's not from around there. Cornelius, though, has a vision. The angel of God comes to him and tells him that he needs to go find Peter. Peter finally arrives at the home of Cornelius, and Cornelius says to Peter at verse 33, right before his sermon begins, these words, quote, "All of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Right? Now, that's pretty formal. Now, I'm not the preacher that Peter was, never have been, never will be, but I've preached quite a few sermons in my life. And no one has ever said to me before, "Preacher, we're here to hear everything that the Lord has commanded you to say today." That's not what people say. So let me transliterate it a little bit. Let me take a little liberty with it and say that Cornelius is really saying, "Peter, an angel of God sent me to get you here, so you must have something important to share." You couldn't have been worth all this trouble, Peter, unless you had something really important to say. So what's it going to be? What are you going to preach? What's your message? What's your testimony? And in verse 34, Peter finally starts preaching. And his sermon is about Jesus and him being raised from the dead on the third day. It's an Easter sermon preached in the pages of the book of Acts in the 10th chapter for us here on Easter Sunday. Now, we did hear this Easter story proper. We heard it from Luke chapter 24 this morning. We even just heard it again with our pieces of paper and our moment for the younger church. But when you preach an Easter sermon, you do your best to try to remember what's called the old KISS rule. KISS rule, keep it short and simple. You don't want to be the preacher on Easter who's like the minister at your cousin's wedding. You remember the minister just wouldn't stop talking. They just kept going on and on and on, right? The wedding ceremony is about this long and the sermon was that long. Remember when you're doing that, if any of you are ever going to be a preacher someday or a pastor, that the wedding is about the couple who are sharing their vows, not about the homily. In the same way, an Easter sermon should all be about the resurrection of Jesus. The Easter worship service should be about the resurrection of Jesus. It's like this old retired pastor by the name of McElwain put it a few years back, quote, the resurrection is the, capital T-H-E, revelatory event that attests to the truth of the Christian faith. Without it, the divine humanity of Jesus could not be asserted, nor could the saving grace of his life and death be believed. So by rights, we should keep it short and simple on Easter. I should probably have just let Gloria read the resurrection story from Luke, and then we should sit down. We should have sung another hymn, probably. It's only this, though. I think this text from Acts needs a little time. This text from Acts shows up in the lectionary this year, the one we just narrowed in upon to understand what was really happening. This one where Peter is asked to preach, where Cornelius the Roman has told him, well, if an angel told me to find you, you must have something important to say. We have this text from Acts, friends, and it is remarkable. It's truly, truly beautiful. No matter how far you zoom out from it, the more widely you look at it, the more remarkable and beautiful it becomes as our vision expands. So let's just take a few moments and collect the treasure which the Bible holds for us today in this text from Acts. Let's see what Peter really said to the household of Cornelius when he was called upon to testify to his faith. He makes three broad points. The first point he makes is that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. That's how he begins. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. Now, that's an important thing to say. What he's saying to them is, you're all welcome to listen to the sermon. You're all welcome to learn to follow Jesus. And in that moment in time, that is a really big deal that he begins that way. Because at that moment in time, the church was in a big, big debate as to whether or not the message of Jesus was just for Jews, Jewish people, people who were born Jews, who then were deciding to learn how to follow Jesus, or whether it would be for anybody who felt called to learn about Jesus, anybody who wanted to follow Jesus. Was it just going to be for the people of Israel, or was it going to be for all the Gentiles too? The folks who had always been part of Israel, or the people who were not yet among Israel's children? And remember, Peter's in the house of a Roman here. He's in the house of somebody who's not from around there. And so for Peter to say, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, is a way of saying that the message of Jesus is for anyone and for everyone. Easter is for everybody who wants to claim it as their own. Everybody who wants Easter to be part of their reason for hope as well. It's a really big deal. It's a really remarkable point he makes. Peter then says that here is how he understood it stands the message of Jesus. First, he says Jesus is Lord of all. And second, as Lord of all, his message was one of peace. Jesus, who was Lord of all, brought peace to the world with him. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus shared this peace with the sick by healing them. And he takes time, Peter reminds us, to teach us right from wrong. It's an important way of understanding Christ, the one who is Lord, who brings peace, who teaches us right from wrong. Let's allow ourselves just for a second to think how different human history might have unfolded if we lived that message every day. If we let ourselves be people who proclaim peace in each and every stage of our lives, if we always chose the right over and against the wrong. Think about the wars which rage in our memories. Think about the conflict that defines too much of life. Think about the wars raging right now in Europe and throughout the world. There's more than one, I'm sad to say. I mean, if we live the way that Jesus, who is Lord of all, who came to bring us peace, would have us live, all these wars might be relics instead of realities. And Jesus shows us right, even when we are vulnerable to getting it wrong. That's part of our Easter faith too, and it's important. Goodness me, is it not important? And third, lastly, it's where Peter becomes an Easter preacher, the final sermon that Peter will preach in the book of Acts. But it's also among the first Easter sermons. It may be the last thing that Peter says, but he takes us all the way back to the beginning. Peter tells them that Jesus was put to death on a tree, that is on a cross, but that God raised him on the third day, the third day. Peter says he knows this because Jesus appeared to him and to other witnesses, ordering them to preach, ordering them to teach that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, and that we receive forgiveness of sins in his name. And that's Peter's sermon. That's the message of Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Given a chance to explain the essence of the faith to a household of newish believers, Peter tells them about Jesus and his resurrection. That's where Peter starts. He tells them about Easter. And in that household, at least, it was their first Easter Sunday. The first time they had ever heard anything like this. As we expand our focus outward just a little bit more, let's think about what this message did. Peter certainly wasn't the only one who preached it, no. In fact, we learn about the church in the first few hundred years that these Christians, the ones who are our most ancient ancestors, they talked about the resurrection. They preached Easter all the time. Remember this when you think about it, too. This is a time in the world where there's no printing press. There's no real way to amplify a voice. There's no library to check out the book. There's no breaking news at 5. There's no roll the footage from Nazareth or from Jerusalem, Tom. There's no media, legacy media, social media, mainstream media, anything. You couldn't take a picture of any of this and send it to somebody on your phone. And yet, the church spread like wildfire. It grew across the ancient worlds. It expanded over geographies, transcending race and class and tongue and language barriers. Always the story of Jesus and him resurrected at the center of their teaching and preaching. I have a book that's almost 1,000 pages long, published in 2019, called The New Testament and Its World. It's so sweeping in its 1,000 pages that it leaves almost no stone unturned about what the world was really like as our faith was being born, as these early disciples were going out and preaching these Easter sermons in those first worlds, in those first years. This is what the authors write in their sweeping book. Quote, there is no form of early Christianity that does not affirm at its heart that after Jesus' shameful death, God raised him to life again. The resurrection of Jesus is woven into the very structure of the Christian life. End quote. See, from way back then, Peter at Cornelius' house, to right now, Easter Sunday 2022, our faith and its hope, our faith and its dreams, our faith and its power are still structured around the wonder of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. We are still, friends, just like those folks in Cornelius' house long ago. We are still, my friends, always and everywhere an Easter people. That is our 2,000-year track record. And I don't think, I really don't, that there's anything else on this earth that can compare with that track record. I mean, it's singular. It really is. Or think about it this way. What else happened 2,000 years ago that folk are still talking about right here and right now? Not much. I think it's singular. It's God's message to all people. We receive the message, and then we offer our testimony to it in support. That's what we do as Easter people. So here's the question I have for us today, April 17th, 2022. If somebody asked us for our testimony about Easter, what would it be? If somebody said, what do you believe about Easter? What does it mean to y'all? What would we say? My friend Christopher Henry is a pastor at Second Presbyterian in Indianapolis. And he recently offered an answer. He wrote recently, resurrection belongs to the realm of faith. Some ways of knowing belong slowly to the heart. That's how it was for the earliest followers of Jesus, who make no attempt to explain what happened on Easter. They simply proclaim that they had seen the risen Lord. And then they spent the rest of their lives telling that story. I want to follow their lead, Chris writes. I do not fully comprehend and cannot adequately explain the truth that lies at the heart of the resurrection story, but I do believe it, and I trust it with all my heart. Like my friend Chris Henry, I, Christopher Edmonston, trust it with all my heart. I do. I really do. Now, you don't have to be a preacher in a fancy church like Second Pres Indianapolis to have an opinion or to be able to give Easter testimony. You don't. You really don't. So I've been asking people this question all week. Just when I had a second, people here on church campus, I went to Bible study on Tuesday, I asked it. I said, what does it mean to us? And I've gotten some amazing answers. One good friend of mine who I've known a lot longer than even the length of time I've lived in Raleigh, a friend who lost a child in a terrible accident, he said to me, well, Easter is how I kept my faith. It's how I held on to hope. That's what it means to me. Another person in Bible study told our group when I asked the question, he said, well, Easter is the celebration of my redemption. It's the source of my praise for all that God has done for me. A longtime member of our choir, perhaps moved by and listening to the songs and anthems and oratorios he's been singing all these years, said, what's the cornerstone of our faith? Without it, quite frankly, nothing else matters. Somebody told me, well, Easter gives me joy. Someone else said, you know, it just makes me happy. It's the source of our praise, someone else said. It reminds me that death will not win, that love is going to win the day, that God gets the final word. Easter reminds me, somebody told me, that I always have a reason to hope. Want to know how much God loves the world? Enough to send the Son and to grant the gift of resurrection on the third day after we thought we'd lost him. Through the awesome power of love and grace, Jesus breaks the power of shame and the power of sin and the power of death. And in that one action, the raising of Jesus Christ, God takes the hopeless and allows it a chance to be hopeful. Because of Easter, friends, we get an invitation to a homecoming. We get a welcome back home, no matter how lost we might have gotten along the way. That is God's Easter message. It is the message of the gospel. It was Peter's testimony in Acts 10, and it's our testimony today, Easter Sunday, 2022. Happy Easter, friends. The Lord is risen. He indeed is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Alleluia and amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace believing that the universe has been set aright, that in God there is no brokenness that cannot be mended, because Easter means that the Lord is alive and that hope is abounding all around us. May the grace, love, peace, mercy of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our risen Lord, be with you and all whom you love until we meet again. Happy Easter, friends. Happy Easter.